In the epistle of today's Mass, we read, "Whosoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And further on, "We have received indeed the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. With these words of exhortation from St. Paul, we are reminded of who we are, sons of God, and what we have been given, the Spirit of God, and how we should therefore live. That is, we should be led by the Spirit we have been given. You must notice carefully that not all of those who merely have received the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, are sons of God, but only those who allow themselves to be led by this Spirit they have received. For it is one thing to possess the Holy Ghost, which you possess as long as you are in the state of grace, but it is entirely another thing to allow yourself to be led by Him whom you possess. That is, to think and to do as He inspires. And this is what we pray for specifically today in the Collect, that this Spirit of God within us lead our minds, enlighten our minds, so as to know and to think correctly, and then also to do correctly, according as God desires. And according as we think and do, following the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, so also are we said to be sons of God, and joint heirs with Christ, that is, worthy of the eternal reward. Insofar as we should act contrary to this Holy Spirit within us, we work the deeds of the flesh. The flesh is opposed to the Spirit. It is without the Spirit. And for those works, we are only liable to death and corruption. If we would not grieve this Holy Spirit within us, then we must be attentive to Him. And this we do principally by prayer. We must remind ourselves of His presence within us by acts of faith in Him. We should often recall His infinite power and make acts of hope in Him, for He can, and He has, changed the most hardened of hearts. And we, finally, should remember He is the Spirit of love of God the Father and Son, and make acts of charity, that He should enkindle in us that same fire of love that burns in God Himself. In the Gospel today, we have the parable of the unjust steward who squandered the material goods of his master, whereby he lost the stewardship. It was taken from him. The material goods which the unjust steward squandered signify all natural goods, those of our that have been given to us by nature, such as our minds, our memory, our imagination, our understanding, and our body, all of its passions, all of its appetites, and all of the other material goods that we can possess, such as money or land, and so on. All of these things are natural goods. Now, because the steward set over them squandered these goods, he lost his stewardship. And this signifies the Spirit, the Spirit of thinking and doing the will of God, the Holy Ghost. To be a good steward of God, therefore, does not mean we lack or we necessarily reject all natural goods. It means that we use them according to the will of God, according to his commandments and inspirations. And we are warned by this parable to mind the goods that we have. Use them well, lest we lose the very spirit which is life and our pledge of eternal life. We have received the spirit of adoption, says St. Paul. This is the Holy Ghost, whereby we are able to dispose rightly of all the goods that we possess, and to justly deal with all natural things of this world. Now this often requires mortification. That is, because of our passions, our appetite, and our pride, those things which are natural goods that God has given us, we will abuse unless we bridle our spirit, the spirit of our flesh. We have to bridle it by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And that is why St. Paul says, by the Spirit, we should mortify the flesh. It is nothing more than to use rightly the things we have. But this requires mortification for us. For our mind and its curiosities, our body and its passions, they all must be bridled so as not to lead us into sin. It is by the Holy Ghost we are enabled to bring them into control, submit them to the will of God. The first lesson our Lord draws from this parable he gives of the unjust steward is this: if he who is unjust acted and without the prudence of the Holy Ghost, yet was able to manage his goods so as to his own profit when he made friends with the debtors of the Lord, how much more can we who have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom, if we manage our goods well, profit ourselves unto life everlasting? This man, according to the flesh, profited himself in a worldly sense. If we act according to the Spirit, we shall profit ourselves unto life everlasting. And then Christ, he said this with these words: I say to you, make unto you friends of the mammon of iniquity. And by mammon of iniquity, he means all the natural goods that you should possess. He calls them mammon of iniquity because they are often the occasion of sin. They are often the occasion of man's ruin. Make friends with these things you have been given. That is, use them according to God's good pleasure, and then you shall purchase for yourself spiritual, incorruptible goods which are perfect. Immediately after today's reading, the Gospel excerpt, if you continue to read in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, our Lord continues to expound this parable. He said, if then you have not been faithful in unjust mammon, these natural goods, who will trust you with that which is true? He asks, who will trust you with that which is true, referring to spiritual goods. For spiritual goods, the chief of these being the very Holy Ghost himself, they are greater than any and all natural goods. And so if you cannot be faithful in those very small, limited things you possess, to dispose of them according to God's will, why should you receive anything greater, namely the gift of heaven, to see and to know and to love God as he is? And then Christ, he continues in the Gospel of St. Luke, if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? That which is another's here refers to those natural goods. They are called another's because if you think about it, you really do not possess anything absolutely, not even your very body. It has been given to you by God, and you have to use it according to God's plan. You are not free to use it as you please. And all of these things that you have now, even your very body, it will be taken back from you at death. So how much can you really be said to possess it? But then that which our Lord calls your own refers to the spiritual goods, which are so called because they pertain to you most properly by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. That is, you are called to be a son of God. You have a right to be with God, to be with him in heaven. That pertains to you, and that is the only thing you can actually possess forever, without fear of losing it. You possess it more truly than anything else you can possess in this world. Therefore, if you will not possess rightly your body, your possessions, you shall neither possess the eternal life and the Holy Ghost. Now, the force of Christ's argument at first is not apparent. For if you listen to what he said, if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? It seems that we would care first for our own before another's. But this is the sense of the argument, and it is very true. He who is unfaithful in that which is easy, how can he be expected to be faithful in that which is difficult? Men are generally more careful in the management of the affairs of others than of their own, for many reasons, but chiefly because in the affairs of others, they are bound in justice to do this, and they are responsible if they should incur any loss, if they should mismanage. Whereas for those of their own, the things of their own, the loss of their own possessions, they do not have to answer to anyone but themselves. And so we are more prodigal of our own possessions than those of others. This is why a man may be found to be very disciplined and zealous in the workplace, in his career, but very dissipated at home. Organized at work, but disorderly at home. Very clean and neat at work, but very messy at home. There is no accountability with himself, but there is accountability, social standards with others. And this is why people will pay for memberships at the gym or any other such club or facility to help themselves to be faithful to what they want to do, whether that be exercise or learning some skill. They need that social motivation and accountability. So again, men are generally more careful in the management of what is another's than their own. So the force of our Lord's argument is true. If someone is disorderly, even when he is answerable to others, how much more should we suspect him to not take good care of what is his own? And if you apply this to what is most properly our own, there is cause to fear. For the Holy Ghost, who is given to us, he is what is most proper to us. But we have to answer directly to no one for how we listen to his inspirations. We don't have to answer to anyone directly except God himself, the Spirit himself. If you are attentive to him, to his presence in you, to your calling, that accountability before God himself will be a motivation and one that you cannot resist. The Holy Ghost will inspire you. He will show you what is good and right. He will make you think correctly. And then you will do as he shows you. It's all a question of realizing that he is there. He is in us. God sees us. And he can be pleased, very pleased, with our thoughts, words, and actions. Or he can also be very displeased. And so we pray today for the Spirit of thinking and doing according to the will of God. Remember the Spirit you have received. Desire him. Desire above all to be led by him. And you listen to him by quiet reading, reflection, and you speak to him by prayer. Have great confidence in him. For our Lord tells us in another place, if men who are even evil can yet give good things to their children, how much more will your Father in heaven grant the good spirits, namely the spirit of thinking and doing well, to you if you but ask it. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.